I feel like God has done something great in my life to, you know, and I feel honored that He even chose me to fill a role in this church for you. I hope and I pray that the time here, as I know I've probably told more than one of you, but I don't feel like this is just a passing thing. I don't feel like this is just a few days here or there or a few months. This is, there's no end to the plan as far as my vision goes. You know, I'm here until the Lord says you're done, and I hope y'all are in it with me until the Lord says we're done. And hopefully maybe that's when He says, well done, good and faithful servant. And as we think about these stories of faith that we've been talking about, and Joe asked a question, an interesting question at the end of our Sunday school hour, asking, you know, how do you deal with these things of, you know, the struggles and the different things that we go through in life? How do you deal with those and continue on? And I just smiled, and he kind of looked, and the reason I smiled is because I think today's sermon, today's message, is and today's topic is going to take us right through the answer to that question. So it may not fully answer, it may not answer specifically for you, but it will answer us about the life of one man that we have seen in Scripture. I want us to review a little bit, though. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, and starting in verse 20, I want to start there today instead of just doing 22, and here's why. I want us to take a look at something interesting about what it says here in these verses. It says, starting in verse 20, "By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. And by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones." Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that today we would see you move in a mighty way in this service, that Lord, we would see you do great things within us this morning. I pray that you would just have this service and have your way in this service, and just lead us to see you clearer than we have before, after the day is done. Lord, help my words to be your words today. And we just thank you and praise you again for allowing us to be here. And we pray this in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As I look at these three verses, I notice something similar. You're talking about men at the end of their life. Now, we've talked about this hall of faith, this faithful group of folks that we see in the book of Genesis that the writer of Hebrews has decided to recap for us here in chapter 11. And here we see the faith of Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And that it really kind of overtook, and we see a couple of interesting things here. We see that Isaac passed on to Jacob and Esau information about things to come. We know what that feels like. We know what that looks like. We see it in our lives. We see it in our families. We pass it on as generation comes to generation. We see the same in Jacob, who passed along things to Joseph's children. Now, one of the things about that I find interesting, and we'll see it as we go through today, is why was it Jacob that was passing things on to Joseph's children? Well, the reason Jacob was passing things on, Joseph wasn't necessarily there for some of the history that needed to be passed on. And we'll understand that a little more as we go on. But then we see that Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Now, why would it mention something in that way as faith? And this is where I come to this uncertain faith that I want to talk about today. It's actually more of a persistent faith. It's a faith that will not die. It's an uncertain faith to know that the uncertain is going to happen. And that is, yes, the definition of faith. But I don't want to focus on it in a way where I'm defining faith with faith. What I want to focus on is the fact that each and every day we face uncertainties. Each and every day we go through struggles, we go through trials, we go through difficulties. And the thing is that to have faith, we have a wonderful thing. But the greatest need for each one of us today is for a faith that is undaunted and that triumphs in the face of adversity. A faith that does not become overwhelmed in the troubles, but a faith that pursues and is persistent until the end. So if you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 37, we're going to start there. And we're going to open up the story of Joseph. I want to go through a story here, go through about seven different things. And while we go through this story of Joseph, I also want to take a moment to compare Joseph's life to another life that we probably know very well within the church. A life that we see in Scripture, a life that I can take you to, and a life that we can understand. But starting in verse 1 of chapter 37 of Genesis, we see, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And there are these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with his sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all the children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and they could not speak peaceably unto him." Now, skip down to verse 11. It says, "And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying." And then if we skip down to 18 through 20, it says, "And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said to one another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dream." Now, I skipped through those verses on purpose, but I skipped through those verses to show you something about Joseph's life. The first thing we see about Joseph's life in his story. Now, I want to encourage you, take the time later today or sometime this week, sit down and read Genesis 37 through 50 from front to back. Read it as a story and learn the story of Joseph. If you can sit there and read that in one sitting, do so. And see who Joseph is. But what I want you to see in this is that Joseph was loved by his father. Joseph was especially loved by his father. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, we also see that says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." So, you see the comparison that I want to make today is Joseph really was almost like Jesus. Not saying that Joseph was Jesus, but if we think about Israel being Joseph's father, and Joseph was his favorite son, and he was beloved by his father, just as Jesus was of God. Joseph is almost a foreshadowing to who Christ is and could be in our lives as we look at the story of Joseph. This is why I feel it's important for us to take time to get to know who Joseph is before we move forward into what this persistent and what this uncertain faith looks like. The second thing we see in Joseph's story, we see in verse 4 of chapter 37, where we see that his brothers despised him, his brothers hated him, and eventually he was sold by his brothers into slavery. He was eventually sold out because they could not stand who he was. Now, if you continue on through the story after verse 20, you do see that Joseph indeed was sold to slavery. He was sold by his brothers only because his brother Reuben actually spoke up on his behalf and said, "Look, we can't kill him. but let's sell him to the gypsies. Let's sell him to these that are coming through, and let's get rid of him that way. We'll tell our father he died, but at least his blood won't be on our hands. Now, I understand why Reuben maybe probably thought over it. We've talked about Cain and Abel and the fact that Cain killed Abel and God called out to Cain. So by not taking Joseph's life, they didn't have to deal with God on that part. But still, to get rid of Joseph, that's not exactly something that families should do. It's not exactly something families do on a regular basis. But what we see is in John chapter 1, verse 11, if we look at the life of Christ, it says, "And he came unto his own, and his own received him not." So not only do we see that Joseph was loved by his father, just as Christ was loved by his, we also see that Joseph was despised by his own. His family despised him because of the love that the father had for him. His family despised him because of who he was. Genesis chapter 39, starting in verse 10, we start to see a story that's later in Joseph's life. And it says, "And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out." Now, we could continue the story, or I can tell you how that story takes place. I will go a little farther into the scripture in a moment, but Joseph was being unjustly condemned by Potiphar's wife. I mean, Joseph is here. He is in the house, and he is trusted to be someone great within the household. And she's trying to take advantage of her power. And Joseph resists the temptation to give in. Joseph resists to give in. And then it says, "It came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto her the men of the house and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And then it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant unto me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him, put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison." So Joseph was unjustly condemned, as was Christ. If we look at Luke 23:41, it says, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." So we see that Joseph's life really does resemble the life we see in Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Now, as the story continuing on there in verses 21 or 22 and 23 of chapter 39, it says, "And the keeper of the prison continued to Joseph's hand, or committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." And if you skip ahead a couple more chapters to chapter 41, and we skip ahead there to verses 41 through 44, it's a similar story. It says, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he was made to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bowed the knee. and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all of the land of Egypt. Now, this is a different story than what we see as you see Joseph triumphing through these. Now, again, I'm just telling a quick version of the story. We will go back and go through some of this morning. I just want you to understand this story. The next thing that we see is that Joseph was raised to a position of great power and authority as was Jesus Christ. Jesus was lifted in that way. Acts 5:31 says, Him hath God exalted with the right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Joseph, all of a sudden, went from this man who was high in the house to the lowest of lows, but was made ruler over the prison while he was there because of the Lord blessing him and continuing to bless him. Folks, what we see in the story of Joseph is faith. Joseph's faith never wavered in who had given him life. Joseph became a blessing to the Gentiles and took a Gentile bride. I mean, we see that in the scripture. It's in chapter 45. I'm not going to read it, but in Genesis 45, we do see that Joseph goes through a number of different things. But he reads, he goes through this, and he shows us some things. And he took up, or actually that's in Genesis 41 still. It says that he takes up a Gentile bride. Joseph was the only Hebrew really in that time. He was in Egypt and he took up a Gentile bride. And I know that you're thinking now at this point that Christ was never married. And you're right. But Acts 15:14, we see that it says, Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. We are the bride of Christ. We've gone over this many times. We've seen this many times. And as we continue to go through the story of Joseph, we start to see that Joseph revealed his identity to his brothers when they came into the land to receive some of what Egypt had stored. Egypt became a provider because Joseph had been in charge. Joseph had collected. Joseph had planned for famine because Joseph was a dreamer. His brothers had asked what would come of his dreams. Well, Joseph knew what was coming, and he stored for the time that it would come. Folks, today we can take many lessons out of the life of Joseph, but what we see is that he revealed his identity to his brothers, and Jesus will also do that. If we look at Zechariah 12:10, it says, And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me when they, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Skip over to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. It says, For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he was not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Christ will reveal who he is, just as Joseph revealed to his brothers. See, Joseph became a savior for his family. Joseph became a savior for those same brothers that had put him into captivity. Joseph was a savior for a family who had turned their back on him. So imagine the look on their face when Joseph said, I am your brother, and started asking questions about the family. But we see that that happened. And in the moment of all of this taking place, in Genesis 45, 15, we see that Joseph says this, or it says, Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that, his brethren talked with him. Joseph had gotten to a point where he assured them that this unchanging love that he had for his brothers and his family had never wavered. No matter what they had done to him, Joseph was still their brother. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, it says this, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Folks, Joseph is the story of faith that you and I can have today. But Joseph is similar to the story that we went over first, and that is the story of Jesus Christ. Joseph started, and he was a son. He was a favored son. He was living in the land, doing as he was told. But because he was doing as he was told, because he was the favored son, he was condemned by his own brothers. How many times today do we push aside Christ for our own selfish ambition? How many times was Christ pushed aside in his own time for the selfish ambition of the Pharisees? And yet at the end, the selfless ambition of Christ was that he came to the cross. And the selfless ambition of Joseph was that he came to his brothers. And he said, I am your brother. Here, this will sustain you. We know the story. Joseph had hidden a chalice within Benjamin's bag, Benjamin being the youngest. You know, Joseph knew what was taking place. He understood. And as we see this story play out, what we see is the story of a man who was living his life no matter what the circumstances. We've said it many times. Paul has said, I have determined that no matter what my circumstances, to be content. Well, as we look at what is happening here and we see the promise that Joseph asked for, that is alluded to in Hebrews 11:22, the verse refers to the end of Joseph's life. But you have to understand the life that Joseph had to be able to understand what this reference is to. It sums up what had been basically Joseph's life for the entirety of the time he had been alive. Perhaps it was really something that was a principle of his faith. Joseph knew that God would fulfill the promise that he had promised. I mean, God was going to fulfill the promises to him. God was going to do the things that he had called him to do. And I want us to look at this, what we can say about this faith that Joseph had, that we can take a lesson from today and we can move forward and walk out these doors with and be strong and courageous, knowing that Joseph had a faith that was greater than the faith that we experience each and every day in our own lives. Joseph had a faith that was right on par with Jesus Christ himself. And I know it might sound crazy to say it, but as we go through this, please listen to these reasons of faith. Listen to these characteristics of the faith of Joseph and see if you can apply it into your own life today. The first that we see is that this persistent faith that Joseph had was not shaken by adversity. Joseph's faith was not shaken by trouble. It was not shaken by turmoil. It was not shaken by anything that he came across. In Genesis 37, we read that Joseph was the favorite son. Verses 4, 5, and 11 tell us that his brothers hated him. Verse 18 tells us that they decided to kill him. And if not for the suggestion of Reuben, they probably would. But verses 20 through 24, we start to see that he was cast in a pit, that he was sold into slavery, and Joseph was then taken to Egypt, and he became Potiphar's slave. And in Genesis 37, we see that these experiences would take hold in Joseph's life, that Joseph would then have to live out this experience in a land he didn't know. That sounds kind of familiar. It's what Abraham was actually called to do, was to go to a land he didn't know. You see how all this ties together. But these experiences would be enough to shake anyone's faith. And if we look at just the stories that I've gone over today, how many of us would have stayed faithful until the end? Folks, Too many times we get wrapped up in the little problems that we face on a daily basis. We get wrapped up in the struggles and the adversities that come our way, but we forget to realize that our faith is what gets us through. You know, if we look at this, we see in Genesis 39:2 that the Lord was with Joseph. And we see, if you look at Genesis 42:36 and you see what Jacob said about losing his son. And then when they leave another one there, Jacob then basically says, he says, you know, what am I to do? But Joseph wasn't that way. Joseph's faith was not a struggling of like, everything is against me, everything is tearing me down. It wasn't like Job's friends who were tearing Job apart, saying, curse God and die, when Job was saying, I don't need to do that. Eventually we see that Job did question God. And I'm not sure if Joseph did or not, but it sure doesn't seem like Joseph let anything get him down. It sure doesn't seem like these stories that we hear of Joseph, that Joseph really allowed things to keep the joy out of his life. Folks, Joseph really embraced what Romans 8:31 says. And it says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I mean, doesn't it seem that way to you? That if God be for us, who can be against us? What can we do in our lives that will separate us from the love of a Father who has created us, who not only created us, but then became man, sent Jesus Christ to this earth to die for our sins? And Jesus, having been treated the way that he was, still went to the cross. Just as Joseph still continued his life, knowing that God had a greater plan and that something big was going to happen and that God was going to use him. He may have faced tears. He may have faced homesickness. He may have faced sorrow. He may have faced distress. But through all of this, God was with him. And his faith in God was unshaken by these times. This uncertain faith, this faith in the uncertain aspects of life, but it was persistent and it was unshaken. The second thing we see is that Joseph's faith was not spoiled by success or prosperity. Joseph's faith didn't waver when he became Potiphar's servant and basically the highest one in the house of Potiphar. And it was not shaken when Potiphar's wife then accused Joseph of doing things that Joseph didn't do. You know, we are more likely to be overcome by our faith, and our faith is more likely to suffer or relapse in times of prosperity than it is in times of adversity. And if you don't believe me, look at what we do in our lives. We pray when we cry out from the depths of life. When we go through those struggles, when we go through the circumstances and the situations that cause us pain and turmoil, we call out to God, we cry out, and we say, Lord, if there's any way, deliver me. But when things are good, do we remember to thank him? Do we remember to see him through? Do we remember that God has done great things for us? And do we remember that he is moving in our lives in mighty ways? When everything is going well, it's a dangerous time for a child of God. It's a very dangerous time for us when things are going great. You know, later, Joseph became basically the prime minister. There was no one greater in the land of Egypt except for Pharaoh. You heard it when I read it. There was no one greater than Joseph in the land of Egypt. And Joseph wasn't even Egyptian. Folks, if that's not a testament to what God can do with unshakable faith, if it's not a testament to what God can do with our persistence in our faith, then I don't know what is. But if we look at it here and we see this, we see that his faith was persistent. We see that these successes did not take away his sense of dependence upon God. We see that Joseph was willing and able to stay focused on the task at hand. So my question today is, are you? As we go through this and we look at the story of Joseph, we realize that our faith does not need to be shaken by the troubles that we come across. Our faith cannot be spoiled by our success. Our faith does not need to be broken because we are successful. Just because we have something going good for us doesn't mean that we need to forget God. And it also means that our faith cannot be broken or moved by the most subtle of temptations. How many of us today have given in to struggle or given in to temptation and faced more struggle because of the temptation that you gave into? I don't know what temptation you might be thinking about, but in Genesis 39, we saw what was taking place. We saw that Joseph was being tempted. We saw that Joseph's story was definitely one that could have faced a different end. Potiphar's wife, likely very beautiful. I mean, she's chosen by a ruler. She's chosen by a leader in the country. And they would basically go find the one they want and take him home. She was a very evil woman. And she tried to tempt Joseph. She tried to convince him that he needed to be something that he wasn't. She tried to convince him that his life was okay if he gave in. And who knows what would have happened had he given in. We know what would have happened had he given in and it been found out about. But would it have ever been found out about? It doesn't matter. Joseph stayed strong. Joseph stayed firm in his faith and he stayed the course. The devil was trying his best, and when faith persists, the devil is defeated. When faith persists, the devil is rerouted. The devil is completely torn apart, and even in the midst of the most cruel onslaughts, we see this glorious thing that Joseph said in Genesis 39:9, "There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Joseph could not, would not, and did not sin when it came to that circumstance. He faced temptation and his mind was on God, and it's exactly what you and I need to understand today, that the world is full of evil and the devil is strong. He is subtle and he will attack you at the very smallest of points. And he will tear you apart from the inside out if you give him a foothold. Joseph did not give him a foothold. And Joseph faced consequences. How many times have making the right decision caused you to have a bad day? How many times making the good decision has caused you to struggle through a circumstance or situation because you wouldn't do what someone else wanted you to do and they took advantage of that and they said you did something different? Even though you know you did the right thing. You know you stood on your own two feet. But when the end of it came, when all was said and done, you realized looking back that they were the ones that were dealt with eventually. Folks, if you stay the course and know you've done the right thing, there is nothing and no one that can tear that away from you. No matter what you face, no matter what struggles come your way, no matter what Joseph faced, no matter the struggle that he faced in that circumstance, he stayed faithful. And we too can stay faithful. You see why we have to have this faith in this uncertainty of life. A faith that the uncertain days will be taken care of by the certain Master who created us. God. God will take care of you. We may not know what God is doing. We may not understand why things are happening the way they are. We may not understand why we're in the hospital, why we're battling disease, why we're struggling with a sickness. We may not understand why these things have come upon us. But it's that uncertainty that shows the glory of God in our lives. It's that uncertainty that gives God the opportunity to move in a mighty way. Ephesians chapter 6, we all know what it says. It's the armor of God. Put it on each day. Joseph put it on and didn't even have Paul's writing to go by. But Joseph, every day, put on the armor of God and went to work. He went to battle. And we need to be aware that this could happen. We need to be aware that we can't be moved by these subtle temptations that come our way in life. The fourth thing we see is that this faith that Joseph had that we can now take and apply is that it's not to be disturbed by false and unjust accusations. I kind of already alluded to that. We can't let the falsities of life keep us from doing what is right. The church today is struggling through this because we have done just that. The church has been accused of doing things the wrong way for so many years by the other side that now the church has bought in. The church has wavered in their faith, and the church has decided to let them say what they want to say. You want evidence of that? Look at the folks who say, well, me and God got this worked out. I don't need to talk to you about my faith, and you can leave me alone about yours because he knows where my heart is. Does he? Because if it's not evident in your life, if it's not evident in your speech, if it's not evident in how you carry your everyday life out and how you carry yourself in the day-to-day, then I'm going to tell you, out of the mouth, the heart speaks. Out of the mouth, the heart speaks. The actions that you put forth, the way that you treat others in conversation, the way that you live life shows who and where your heart is. It's hard to hold on to God when we're falsely accused and misunderstood, but this faith that Joseph had did that. Joseph stayed strong. And what we see is if we honor the Lord, we can be sure that he will honor us. I mean, we see that throughout Scripture. But if we honor the Lord, we can be sure that he will honor us. And Joseph found favor. He found favor with the leader of the prison, who then put Joseph in charge of the prisoners. And in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, we see that it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. It may not be that things are going to go according to our plan. It may be that we think that we shouldn't have to face this struggle that we're facing because we've been faithful, but stay faithful, faint not, and do not allow the world to keep you from doing what God has called you to do. Joseph didn't do that. Joseph stayed strong. So you see why I want to go through the life of Joseph to show us what faith is. That verse was very, the verse in Hebrews talks about the end of Joseph's life. But Joseph had no other way to look but faith. And he had learned it from previous generations, and he taught it to his own children through the way that he carried himself. The fifth thing we see is that he didn't give up on these broken promises and broken pledges. Now, I didn't read it, but in chapter 40 of Genesis, and you start there in verse 1, we see a promise that was made to Joseph. Joseph was made a promise, and we read of two fellow prisoners of Joseph's in the interpretation that Joseph gave of their dreams. And then we see that it showed his faith to God. The butler's promise to remember Joseph came after he translated a dream, and the butler went back to work, but he did not keep his promise. So what did Joseph do? Did he say that God had let him down, that God had gave him no reason to go on? No. Although it's true in many ways that Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Joseph understood that verse because he hoped that the butler would keep his promise, and he didn't. And when hope is deferred, when we put our hope in someone and they let us down, we get sick to our stomach. We get sick inside. It breaks our heart because we struggle through, why would they do this to me? How many times have we done something for someone, they've made us a promise to pay us back some way, somehow, and we've never heard from them again? I mean, it could be as simple as you lending somebody money and them disappearing and never paying you back. It could be that you followed through with something that someone had begged you to do. But folks, I want to be weary of this right here, because I want you to understand, daily we do that with God. And daily we never pay God back the way we say we're going to. How many of us have prayed that prayer? God, if you'll just get me through this. God, if you'll just let me see the other side of this problem, I promise you this. I will give you that. I will do this for you. I will always do this. And then 3 days later, we go and do what we want to do anyway. Because God has prospered us. We have seen that come through. And eventually God will stop filling those promises for us, because it's not helping Him. And it's not helping us to be blessed and never called on the carpet. We need to be persistent in our faith, but we also need to be faithful to the one who is faithful. But this faith that Joseph had wasn't disturbed. It wasn't disrupted by broken promises. Joseph's faith persisted, and he trusted God to see him through. The sixth thing we see as we get close to wrapping this up today, we see that his faith was not influenced by human reasoning. In all of his experiences of adversity and sorrow, there was no hint that Joseph ever questioned the loving wisdom and will of God. There's no hint that Joseph wavered one bit on anything that God had offered him as a promise. I want you to understand that today. He was hated by his brothers. He was cast into a pit. He was sold into slavery in Egypt. He was assaulted. He was let down. But God was still on the throne. He had never been abdicated, even for a moment. But the glorious thing that Joseph said, Joseph actually made a statement in Genesis chapter 45. It's in verses 4 through 8. And it says this, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. They came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did not send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and the Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Folks, if we could have that perspective on every aspect of our lives, imagine what could happen for us. If that is not faith in the uncertainties of life, I'm sure when Joseph was sitting in a pit, he was not thinking about being the ruler of Egypt. Joseph was not in a pit waiting to be sold, thinking about becoming the highest official for Pharaoh. He wasn't thinking about becoming what he was. But God had saw fit. God had seen fit to take those things. Just as in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. Folks, Joseph told his brothers not to be upset with themselves, because it was God's plan. How many of us, when somebody does us wrong, is going to look at someone and say, it's God's plan? Look at what God did for me through that struggle. I can think of times in my life that if I look back at it this way, and I've done that this week, I realize now things that I became upset in, things that led me out of one church into another, things that had caused struggles for me in life up until recently, when I finally was able to let it go. Even of one this week, of something where I thought I had been wrong in a church, I look at it through these words of Joseph and I realize that is what put me where I am today. Had I not left,
at the time I did. Had that not happened in my life, I wouldn't be standing in this pulpit today. God had a plan. And although the trouble that came through that circumstance was there, 15 years later, I'm standing in a pulpit because God moved me in an amazing and mighty way. So when you look at your life, think over those moments. Think of what happens in your life. Think of where you might be if it weren't for this. And the seventh thing we see as we wrap it up this morning is that this persistent faith of Joseph wasn't confined to time. Now, why can I say that? I can say that because in Genesis chapter 50, verse 25, we finally see what was alluded to in Hebrews 11. It says, "And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry my bones from hence." And in Exodus 13, 19, we see that Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Folks, do we need to be delivered like the Israelites today? Do we need to see God move in a mighty way like he did in Joseph? Well, let me start with the fact that Joseph had an uncertain faith, a faith in this uncertain way of life, but it was unshakable. It was persistent, and he never gave up. He never gave in. He never wavered in who he was. Can you say that about you today? Can you say that the struggles you're going through are simply something that is on the road as you head toward where God has you? Joseph could have gone into depression. He could have gone through a struggle. He could have gotten down and out about the fact that at 17 years old, he was thrown into a pit and sold into slavery because his brothers hated him. But yet Joseph didn't. Joseph realized that that was part of God's plan and kept his faith in the one who had given him life. He kept his faith in the father he had, and I'm not talking about Israel. I'm not talking about Jacob. His faith was in God the Father because that's what had been passed down to him. Where's your faith today? Are you putting your faith in your brothers or your sisters? Are you putting your faith in your family? Are you putting your faith in your material possessions? Are you putting your faith in God, knowing that no matter what you face, no matter what struggles come your way, no matter what troubles you might undertake, that God is greater, He is bigger, and He's going to pull you through, and He's going to pull you out. So as we close today, and we sing, come, don't hesitate. Don't let God take you out, or don't let yourself take you out of the equation that God has for you. Don't let your personal selfishness take you out of what God has planned for you in His life, in your life. Because when we allow Him to live it through us, when we allow Him to push us forward, then we see God move in mighty ways. I know it's been a little long-winded, and I appreciate you staying through it. But, folks, we need to see this life of Joseph today. Because Joseph's life can be our life. It was the life that Christ lived. Too many similarities to see that Jesus Christ would have known who Joseph was. And those lives mirrored each other very well. Because Christ did the same thing. He saw it through to the end. He saw it through to the final nail, so to speak. Christ knew what was coming. And it came for you, it came for me, and His sacrifice was for us. Because God has always been faithful to us. And He needs an unshakable, persistent faith in the uncertain from us today.